It's KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. How will climate change affect us in the Seattle area? Here's one word: mild. A study from Princeton and the government agency NOAA says Seattle will probably have more mild days in the coming years, with highs between 64 and 86 degrees. Is that it? Climate change means more pleasantness? I asked Joe Casola from the University of Washington Climate Impacts Group, and he says more mild days in spring and fall means our summers and winters will change too.
Yeah. So you have more mild winters and hotter summers. And I think one has to be careful in assuming all that is good news.
Yes, I'd like to talk about that. A little more on that in a moment. First of all, I also wondered, what about extreme weather? What about droughts and floods?
Right. So the particular study that came out was looking really at temperature and some of the focusing in on days when we don't get too much rain, so nice days. But for our region, you know, we expect, as global warming continues, the heaviest rainfall events get heavier. The atmosphere can hold more moisture, and when the jet stream slams into us, as it often does during the winter, we can get heavier rainfall events, and that can contribute to flood risk. On the drought side, kind of paradoxically, we can also have an increase in drought risk, and a lot of that's because in many places, especially in eastern Washington, the water resources are from our snowpack. They make up a big chunk of the water that we get in the spring and the summer. So as we warm things up, we push those snow lines higher up, and there's less real estate as you go up the mountain. So we would have less snow available, and then the snow that we do get will melt off more quickly in the spring and the summer. So we can have this kind of paradoxical effect of increasing our flood and drought risks in the future.
Is that it for the downsides of a warmer Pacific Northwest?
Well, it really does depend on who you are, but there are other impacts that I think we're concerned about, and that one of them is health. When you start to get above, you know, a heat index, let's say up in the upper 90s, you really start to see an uptick in negative health outcomes, especially for folks who are elderly, those with a pre-existing health condition, sometimes some more illness for younger children too, especially those who might have respiratory issues. And if you start thinking about what future climate looks like, we increase the chances that we have these very warm days where you can see some really bad impacts, assuming we have the same health system in the future. Now, there are lots of ways we can kind of get the word out better to folks in the community to help prepare. Investments can be made in cooling centers. You know, there's ways to cope.
And what about animal habitats and friendlier weather for pests?
Yeah, that's a great point. So much like the snow moving up, lots of species are also going to get pushed towards higher elevation as it might be too warm where they're used to living. Another species that people care a lot about are salmon. And we've already seen this during particularly warm years like 2015. And in parts of Washington state, there's a lot of these choke points where the water tends to be warmer. And during those hot summers, sometimes the salmon that are cruising through can't make it. And you have some pretty big kill events. So a lot of our ecosystems could face significant changes from warming temperatures and other aspects of climate change.
So, Joe, when you saw these headlines, as I did a couple weeks ago, about milder weather to come in the Northwest, I did wonder, why is that the headline? Is that the best headline?
You know, that was, I think, it's consistent with the paper itself. There's been a lot of research looking at the really, really warm days and the really cold days. And so I think this paper wanted to look at kind of the middle of the distribution, the middle of the bell curve. And I don't think the authors had maybe Seattle in mind when they wrote it, because one of the things that they show is that even by this mild day metric, a lot of places around the world lose out on this, on their mild days, especially places in the tropics and places where you have actually a lot of poor communities where maybe the capacity to adapt and to evolve with the changing climate is less than a place like here. So I think what their headline may have been fewer mild days for most places.
We've been talking with Joe Casola of the University of Washington Climate Impacts Group. Finally, any thoughts about President Trump's apparent stance toward scientists and science like climate studies?
Yeah, that's been a common question that we've been fielding. We are always concerned when elected officials or decision makers in important spots make statements that are contrary to the conclusions of mainstream science. So statements like there's no climate change or climate change is a hoax gets us very worried because it is not in line with you know, many decades of science research. The good thing about being in Seattle, being in Washington State in the Northwest, is we have many decades of work of trying to prepare for both climate variability, the floods and droughts we're seeing now, as well as the floods, droughts, hot days, less snowpack of the future. And I think we're going to really try to continue to work on that. And I encourage people who are nervous about the direction of things at the federal level, get engaged locally. You know, call up your folks at King County who are in charge of infrastructure, your local elected officials at the city, county, or state level, find out what they're doing on this. Because there's been a lot of energy and a lot of investment, and I think that the more folks we can get focused on it, the faster and farther we'll go.
Joe Casola, Deputy Director of the University of Washington Climate Impacts Group, telling you what it means that Seattle will likely get 9 more days of mild weather by the year 2100.